Take your Bibles now, if you will, please. And let's go to 2 Samuel, chapter number 21. And we're going to be reading verses 1 through 14. The title of the message today is Rizpah, Eternal Motherhood. Rizpah, Eternal Motherhood. 2 Samuel, chapter 21. We'll begin reading verses 1 and going through verse 14. And as I was called upon to have this responsibility, I wanted to determine in my mind and my heart what I wanted to accomplish in this message today. There are numerous things, but the main thing was to elevate motherhood, to show how important and what a great responsibility and a great privilege it is for mothers to be mothers. And they should be recognized for that and honored for that in every way. Now, not everybody is going to be a mother. There's singleness in the Bible. And sometimes God gives the gift of singleness to some women and they do not get married and they're happy with that. And so maybe they met some bad dudes along the way. But anyway, they're happy with that. And to some of the rest, it's physical problems. And so because of that, they cannot have children and technically can't be called mothers. But motherhood is the natural. It is the normal. It is the thing that God designed. And so I hope we can elevate motherhood today. And let's look at these verses and see about a marvelous mother by the name of Rizpah. Very unusual example of a mother's commitment and dedicated love. And that's probably the way most mothers are, dedicated and consecrated to their children. Now we look in verse 1, 2 Samuel 21. Then there was a famine in the days of David, 3 years, year after year. And David inquired of the Lord. And the Lord answered, it is for Saul and for his bloody house because he slew the Gibeonites. And the king called the Gibeonites and said unto them, now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites. And they were part of the Amorites. And the children of Israel had sworn unto them, and Saul sought to slay them in his zeal to the children of Israel and Judah. Wherefore David said unto the Gibeonites, what shall I do for you? And wherewith shall I make the atonement that ye may bless the inheritance of the Lord? And the Gibeonites said unto him, we will have no silver, nor gold of Saul, nor of his house, neither for us shalt thou kill any man in Israel. And he said, what ye shall say, that will I do for you. You ask it, and I'll give it to you. And they answered the king, King David, the man that consumed us, that's Saul, and that devised against us that we should be destroyed from remaining in any of the coasts of Israel, let 7 men, this is a request, let 7 men of his sons be delivered unto us, and we will hang them up unto the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord did choose. And the king said, I will give them. He said, you got it. But the king spared Mephibosheth. That's a whole message in itself. Mephibosheth was crippled. He couldn't help himself. He was a descendant of Saul. But David, like Jesus, has mercy on us. Saved him, kept him in the house, and took care of him. That's a beautiful message of salvation by grace. But the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul. But the king took the 2 sons of Rizpah. There's the lady we're talking about, the mother. The daughter of Aiah, whom she bare unto Saul. She was one of Saul's wives, and she bore him these 2 boys. Armoni and Mephibosheth, and the 5 sons of Michal, the daughter of Saul, whom she brought up for Adriel, the son of Barzillai the Maholathite. And he delivered them into the hands of the Gibeonites. And they hanged them in the hill before the Lord. And they fell all seven together, all seven sons of Saul, and were put to death in the days of harvest, in the first days in the beginning of the barley harvest. Now let's get back to the mother, verse 10. And Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, took sackcloth, and she spread it for her upon the rock from the beginning of harvest until water dropped upon them out of heaven, and suffered neither the birds of the air to rest on them, talking about their bodies, to rest on them by day, nor the beasts of the field by night. And it was told David that what Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, the concubine of Saul, had done. And David went and took the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan, his son, from the men of Jabesh Gilead, which had stolen them from the street of Bethshan, where the Philistines had hanged them, when the Philistines had slain Saul in Gilboa. And he brought up from thence the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan, his son, and they gathered the bones of them that were hanged, and the bones of Saul and Jonathan, then his son buried they in the country of Benjamin, and Zelah in the sepulchre of Kish, his father. And they performed all that the king commanded, and after that God was entreated for the land. That gives you the background, though you'd have to study it a little bit to get it. But here was a problem in Israel. There was no rain. And it had not rained for a year, 2 years, 3 years. And so they are asking, David is saying, why do we have no rain? Must be something wrong between us and God. We've got to find out what it was. And so he did find out that the problem was that Saul had broken a covenant relationship. And that covenant relationship was with these Gibeonites and the Amorites. They were part of that group. And Saul was one that honored them, and he sent people there to kill them. They were not supposed to be killed. Here's what the history was. The Gibeonites fooled Joshua. They made a covenant with him. They lied about it, but nevertheless, a covenant was a covenant. And this covenant was dishonored. You know, God puts a great price on his covenants. And his covenants have to be carried out. So here's the covenant. David saw what was going on. He was told what had happened. They were supposed to be just hewers of stone, carriers of water at the temple. And yet, here comes Saul, and Saul killed all of them. So the Gibeonites, David wants to go to them and talk to them. And he wants to make things right with them. He knew that that's why God was not blessing them. So David went to them and he said, what do you want me to do? They said, we don't want your silver. We don't want your gold. We don't want any of that. But they made quite a request. They said to expiate all of the wrong that has been done in the murder of those who should not have been murdered, we want the seven sons of Saul to be hung in our presence. That's quite a request, isn't it? And one of those boys was Rizpah's son. Two sons of Rizpah, five of Michael, Saul's grandsons, and they actually hung them there. Now look at what Rizpah did. You talk about the dedication of a mother that loved her son. Her sons. She took sackcloth, and scholars believe she made a little tent there. And she lived in that tent from early spring until the last of September. That would be 6 months. She took that sackcloth, made a tent, and she watched over the remains of her two sons because she loved them that much. And for 6 months, she kept the vultures away during the daytime, and she kept those that would hurt or hinder those bodies during the nighttime. Of course, there was some deterioration. But she was there because of her overwhelming love. She loved like only a mother could love her sons. David heard about it. And David said, this is not right. And so I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to honor this dear mother's dedication in love. So David, the king at that time, took the bones of Saul and Jonathan, and then he took the bones of these other seven others, including the two of Rizpah, and he took those bones and buried them in Kish with a proper burying. He didn't leave them there where they had left them. That's a mother's love. Can you imagine mothers staying there with the remains of your sons for 6 months, living in a tent and making sure that no animals would abuse them or mistreat them? This is God-given devotion of a mother. The story is of a woman and her son. And then there's a story that Alfred Lord Tennyson read about. He was so moved by this story. The story was one that caused him to write the poem Rizpah. We don't have time to read it. It's long, and you'll be glad I didn't read it. But let me encourage you to read it sometime. It should move you, maybe move you to tears. But the reason he wrote it, he read an article in a little newspaper about a dear lady whose son had followed the wrong crowd. And that son had robbed a mail train and had been part of that. He was thrown into jail, and because of the seriousness of the crime, they were going to kill him. And the mother went there on the day that he was supposed to be killed. And the mother was talking to him, and the jailer jerked her away, pulled her away, would not let her talk to him anymore. And she said, please let me talk to him. And the jailer was mean, just would not do it. And as she went away, she wanted to talk to him, and he wanted to talk to her. And he just uttered these words, oh, mother, oh, mother. He wanted to just talk to her one more time. That mother kept hearing those words over and over as they reverberated in her mind day after day, week after week, until she finally went insane. And after she went insane, she stayed in that institution for many, many years until her old age. She kept hearing that, but she never forgot what had happened to her son and how much she loved him. And she didn't like the fact that they buried his bones under the gallows where he was hung. And so when she got out, she went at nighttime, she got a shovel, she dug up those bones and took those bones to a church graveyard and buried them with a proper burial. That's the love of a mother, right? A love of a mother that did such a thing. And so that inspired him to write the poem Rizpah. Some say that Kipling's poem, Mother O' Mine, was birthed out of the poem that was written by Alfred Lord Tennyson. Let me just read you this little poem. It's not long, entitled Mother O' Mine. If I were hanged on the highest hill, Mother O' Mine, Mother O' Mine, I know whose love would follow me still, Mother O' Mine, Mother O' Mine. If I were drowned in the deepest sea, Mother O' Mine, Mother O' Mine, I know whose tears would come down to me, Mother O' Mine, Mother O' Mine. I know whose tears would come down to me. If I were damned in body and soul, if I were damned in body and soul, Mother O' Mine, Mother O' Mine, I know whose prayers would make me whole, Mother O' Mine, Mother O' Mine. There's nothing like a godly Christian mother. And these women were dedicated to it, to their sons. That is a bit radical, I agree, but it illustrates for us how much love a mother can have for their children. Thank God for Christian mothers. Amen? Amen. We look at the book of Proverbs. Go back there just a second. And let's look at just a few verses in Proverbs 31 that describes a mother. And it says in verse 25, Proverbs 31, strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. More is said about her before that. But she opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household. That's why Titus and Timothy said that mother's primary job is to be keepers at home. She looked well. And by the way, I'm glad there's a resurgence of young mothers now that want to do that. That's being born again in our culture, and I'm glad for that. But she looketh well to the ways of her household, eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her, rightfully so. Many daughters have done virtuously, but how excellent, but thou rather excellest them all. Favor is deceitful. Believe that. Beauty is vain. Don't just look for those things. But a woman that fears the Lord, she's the kind of woman you're looking for. She shall be praised. And that's the kind of mother God wants the mothers to be. You mothers that are here today, God wants you to be that kind of mother. There are many other things said in the pastoral epistles in 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus about motherhood. It'd be good for mothers to review those things every once in a while. But here's human love that is so strong. That strong human love. My mother, I love my mother. My mother loved me. I can't wait to get to heaven to see her. What strong love she had. Very self-sacrificing. She always put the five children first. And that's the human love of a strong mother. And it's a strong thing, a mother that loves children. But let me tell you about a love that's stronger than that. And that's God's love for you. Amen. God's love for you. He loved you so much that he gave his only son. His only son went to Calvary while his mother watched. And his only son died on the cross that you might have the promise of eternal life. Every mother here today can know you're going to heaven and know that you're saved. Why? Because of God's love. God's love excels a mother's love, as great as a mother's love is. And God's love is stronger than that. And you can be saved today, mothers, if you hadn't been saved. And it'll work for daddies too. Amen? Now let me ask you a question, mother. Have you perfected as much as you can your love for your children and love for your family? Are you sure about that? Are you dealing with that? You're saved. Hopefully that's the case. And mother, if you're not saved today, you can never be the mother you should be. You need to be saved. You need to accept Christ as your Savior. You can never be a Proverbs 31 woman until you get saved. And you have to be born again. That's how you can be the kind of mother God wants you to be. And he does. Saved. Dedicated primarily to God and the family. Always, mothers, is this true of you? Seeking, first of all, God's will. Every mother in here, can you say that? I'm seeking first and foremost God's will in my life as a mother. And are you watching over your children, maybe not after death, but making sure that you love them enough to care for them, to meet their needs and to watch over them and to express that love to them all the time? It needs to be there. No, they're not perfect, but neither are you. But mothers, would you just exude that love to your children? That's what they need. And these little old boys that act like they don't want their mother hugging them and giving them a kiss, they're faking it, let me tell you. Mother, give them love anyway. Put a little slobber on their chin. They'll get over it. And let them know that you love them. Have your love perfected in seeking God's will, not only for you, but for them. Watch over them like Rizpah did. That may mean self-surrender and sacrifice. My mother used to show up in places that I could not believe she would show up. And as I go back and look on my childhood, I say, Lord, I sure thank you she showed up. She showed up. But you know what? It wasn't convenient for her. She had to drive sometimes maybe 10 miles out of the way. She had to call people and find out where I was hitchhiking to and who I was with and where I wound up. And the strangest thing, sometimes she showed up and called my name. And when she said, Willie, I froze because I was not where I was supposed to be. I could give you a lot of illustrations, but I won't do that. But I'm telling you, mothers, pay attention to your children. Don't be so wrapped up in your job and so wrapped up in material things and so wrapped up in your self-pleasure and so wrapped up in making money and making a name for yourself. Be wrapped up in your children and your husband. That's what God really expects out of us. And watch as Rizpah did. What a mother she was. And the Bible says, train up a child. Train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he's old, he won't depart from it. Training a child takes time, Mama. It takes time to sit down and talk to them and have time to talk to them. Most mothers today are so busy, in so much of a hurry, they say, honey, I just can't talk to you right now. I've got to be here. I've got to be at this club. We've got to be at this sport event and all of that. And some of that's okay in its place. But mothers, you must have love and time for your children or you will lose them. Train them up. Train them up in spiritual things. Then may I say to you children, all ages, love your mothers. Amen. Amen. Love your mothers. Honor your mother. Children, promote not just your selfish happiness, but your mother's happiness. She deserves a right to be happy. She deserves a right to be noticed and to be blessed and to be honored and to be complimented. And sometimes we take mothers for granted. Sometimes we wait till they die and say, oh, I wish I had. I wish I had. It's too late then, my dear friend. Honor your mother right now. Love your mothers. Honor and promote her happiness. And by the way, when they get old, like me, and some of us old fellas around here, when they get old like that, and they get a little bit infirm, don't forget them. Don't run them off to a nursing home and never visit them. Don't fail to call them and try to meet their needs. That's wrong. We ought to honor our mothers. And it doesn't matter if they're old and feeble and cranky or have Alzheimer's. Whatever it may be, honor thy mother when they're older and they can't get around. By the way, you may have to help them a little bit, but they helped you a whole lot until you got out of the house, right? They did. When you're a little baby, they changed your diapers and washed you, bathed you, and cooked for you, and on and on and on, right on up to that time. And don't forget mothers when they're older. So many do that, and that, I think, is really one of my pet peeves. Proverbs 23:22. Here's what God said. God said this, despise not thy mother when she is old. Let me read that again. Despise not thy mother when she is old. I gave a guy a track and a dollar bill this morning down here. And some people say, you shouldn't do that. Well, leave me alone. If I want to do it, I'm going to do it. And what's a buck? That's like a nickel was a few years ago. And I said, where's your mother? He said, she's in Grand Prairie. I said, so she lives there? I said, are you going to see her today? Are you going to call her? He said, I sure am. His teeth needed a little work, but he smiled. He said, I sure am. I said, do you love your mother? He said, yes, I do. I said, then tell her today that you love her. And then live like she wanted you to live. And he smiled and said, yes, sir, I will. You know, that's worth a dollar for me just to get to preach that long. But at any rate, listen, children, what can you give your mother? What can you give your mother? What can you give your mother? So, well, I'll give her a diamond. That'll make her happy. Well, that's all right. Probably would. I'll give her some flowers. That's good. Some of you got flowers. Church has given you flowers. And that's good because the husband forgot and you're mad at him and the church took up the slack. But at any rate, flowers. We'll make you a cake and bring it over. We'll fix the meal, take you out. Those are all good things. They're good things. Do those if you can. But the best thing you can give your mother is to achieve, listen now, achieve what your mother planned for you and desired for you in the rest of your life. Achieve what they planned. And I'm including in that the fact that they want you to be a godly Christian person. No matter what age you are, they want you to be a godly Christian person. Now, if you did not have a good mother, you have to forgive her and let God take care of that. But I'm saying to you, that's what God expects, and that's what we can give them. We can give our mother the great gift for the rest of our life of saying, Mom, look, I'm going to church. I love the Lord. I'm married. I have a Christian husband. We read our Bibles together. We have devotions together. I pray with my children. How do you like that, Mother? And a Christian mother say, oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad I tried to train you up that way, and I'm so glad. So, take your place with the people of God as a person that mothers tried to train. Live noble. Live a wonderful life. There's a legend out there that Gabriel was sent down to earth, and Gabriel was told to bring the three most beautiful things on earth. Gabriel, you go down to earth and bring back to heaven the three most beautiful things that you can find on earth. And so he got a rose, and he got a baby smile, and a mother's love. Three things. A rose was as beautiful. A baby smile. And then a mother's love. And as the legend would go, as he was going back up to heaven, the rose faded. And the smile dissipated. But the mother's love never, never quit. And lasted and still lasted throughout all of eternity. There's nothing like a mother's love. And I thank God that Christian mothers do what God expects them to do. I'm glad to honor mothers. I'm glad to say words of gratitude to mothers. I'm glad today to say, God, thank you for godly mothers. Thank you for them and honor them while they live and show them that love. And remember, if they are gone, remember them and let those memories be precious to you. And take time to thank God that you had a godly mother. I had a godly grandmother that lived with us. I thank God. She taught me a lot of Bible stories. They were retired. She had time. And I was about 7, 8 years of age. I thank God for my mother that did that. And my grandmother and then my mother who followed up. Honor them while they live and remember them when they're gone. Mothers, if you're here and you're lost, I want to encourage you today to give your heart to Jesus Christ. You'll be the best mother you could ever be if you get saved. But you'll never, never be able to be the mother you should be until you come to Christ and you're born again. So if you're here today, mother, and you're not saved, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And mothers, you're probably the primary example of all people in the world to those children. The husband has his role. I don't know of anybody anywhere that influences the children any more than mother. Mother has time. Mother influences the children. Now, let me ask you, mother, are you giving them a good example? Are you showing them what real Christianity is? Can they look at your life and say, my, I have a godly mother, and my godly mother puts Christ first in her life. She's gotten rid of those habits and those things that God doesn't want in her life. And I love her and I thank God for her. An example of living for Jesus and being a sacrificial mother, not a self-centered, selfish mother. And family, thank God for the mother in that family. And thank God that you have a kind of mother, hopefully, that helps get you ready, brings you to church, comes to church with you. This thing of mother saying, I'll send you to church, but I'm not going with you. Or daddy, no, that's wrong. That's totally wrong. That's a bad, bad example. But mother, you ought to set the example. And the family ought to be a godly family. And mother, you are, I think, the greatest influence in that home for motherhood. And to lead that family to be the spiritual family and the spiritual children that you ought to be, according to Proverbs 31. Let's stand, please. If you're not saved, I want you to come today and let somebody show you how to be saved. They'll take the Bible very quickly, show you how to be saved. Mother, do you need to come and rededicate your life to God? Do you need to come maybe and ask for wisdom and pray to be a mother, a better mother? Maybe mother and daughter would come, and daughter, you would say, Mother, I love you. Let's go pray together. Maybe husband, wife, and family. And just honor motherhood and let it be known. And if you're not saved, I beg of you, come, Mother, and trust Christ as your Savior. Father, as we come to you in prayer, we ask that you would speak to hearts and thank you for elevating motherhood. Thank you for your plan of a family and the response and the importance of being a mother. May you bless our mothers. May you encourage them today that they have a great and remarkable and persuasive ministry with their children. God, may we do what should be done in our homes to honor mothers and mothers to be what they ought to be. If there's some not saved, oh God, I pray that today they'd be saved. In Jesus' name, amen.